This is Jay Sekulow breaking news. The president says since Congress can't get its act together on health care, he's going to use the power of the pen.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The president is on Thursday, according to sources telling Fox News, to sign an executive order that would allow certain individuals to band together in what are called healthcare associations in order to use the power of numbers to buy healthcare at a lower rate and buy across state lines to get the best rate available.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The president tweeting this morning, quote, since Congress can't get its act together on health care, I will be using the power of the pen to give great health care to many people fast.
And now, chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Well, the president said that if Congress can't get it done, he's going to. He sent out a tweet this morning about this. Since Congress can't get its act together on health care, I will be using the power of a pen to give great health care to many people fast. Put that in all capitals. The thought is that this is going to allow direct access to health care markets across state lines, which the president would have the authority to do under the ERISA statutes. Now, this would be a big change in the existing market structure, which is, of course, limited by state lines. And you have, as we've said on this broadcast, states where there is literally one or two carriers at best, some counties where there's none. That are available, or they're going to literally just one. So this would be a move towards a repeal, in a sense, of a portion of the Affordable Care Act, but this one affecting the state lines issue.
Yeah, I mean, what would be huge here is, of course, the competition that would immediately hit the markets. That means if you were an individual that would be subject to buying on the exchange and you were down to one of these places, counties, states, that only had one option at all, that would no longer apply to you. You'd have the entire country's options at your disposal. What does that mean? Well, suddenly insurance companies that may have pulled out of your state will now be available to you if you liked going with one or like the benefits that they offered. And it should actually really start controlling the prices very quickly. Now, this is not repeal Obamacare, but what it does do is a key conservative part of healthcare reform, and that is allowing Americans to buy their insurance from the best at the best price available and having as many options to purchase as available. The president is set. We are hearing so far the plan is for the president to do this on Thursday. He tweeted out very quickly this morning, since Congress can't get its act together on health care, I will be using the power of the pen to give great health care to many people fast. We expect this executive order to come sometime around Thursday, and that will reopen the insurance markets so that people can buy across state lines. I want to hear what you think about that. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
There's a lot of sense right now that without executive action on this, nothing's going to take place. So here's the question we're asking you, and that is your thoughts on how you feel about this. I would call it step one, since it looks like legislatively things are not going to be moving on this. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Your feelings about the president taking this action. I will tell you this. I expect there will be some objections by groups on the left, although you would think, I mean, just think about this for a moment, encouraging the ability to have the consumer obtain health care from other states, in other words, creating real competition, why would groups on the left oppose that? I mean, that's a real question to look at in all of this. But we do expect that there will be opposition. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be opposition necessarily in Congress. They can complain, but there will be lawsuits filed. Now, it'd be interesting to see who files the lawsuits because, for one, it's going to benefit people. So individuals are going to get a benefit here. So there's really only two groups that would file. You could get some Democrat members of Congress, I guess, to file, or people who are questioning whether the president has the constitutional authority to do this. But it's pretty well settled that he does because President Obama did similar moves when he was kind of playing around with the Affordable Care Act. Second, and this is why I'm more interested in seeing, what are the insurance companies going to do about this?
Well, that
now,
would be
certainly, now they're going to have to compete, but that does mean that those who left big markets are going to be able to sell in those markets once again. So they're going to have to balance whether they really think this is so bad or not for them.
There may be some other things he does as well. He may allow any organization or individual to buy from these organizations, or maybe organizations formed for pooling purposes. That may help. All right, we've got a lot of calls coming in, Logan. We'll take those when we come back from the break.
That's right. No lines are available right now, but they'll open up facebook.com/jsekulow to watch. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
The idea: the president is going to issue an executive order, and it looks like it's coming Thursday. He says, since Congress can't get its act together on health care, I'll be using the power of the pen to give great health care to many people fast. Now, I always, when anything like that happens, whenever a president uses executive action, I look to see where's the authority to do that. And here the authority, will, based on what we're hearing, and we don't know exactly what the president is proposing in his executive action, executive order right now, would come out of the ERISA statutes. The ERISA statutes, which govern employee benefits, the Employment Retirement Income Security Act, this would allow for small and large corporations to join together and purchase health care for their employees across state lines if it's put together like that. And that would seem to be the authority that exists under ERISA to do that. Again, it would be a change in policy from the ACAs, but not necessarily a change in the law. So, and again, you can't change the law by executive action. So just pointing that out.
Yeah. Most people do believe, though, who are looking at this, professors at Georgetown University on health, say that because what President Obama did, which limited this ability, was just a guidance, not a regulation, that with a stroke of the pen, just kind of like other executive orders, you can do away with it. The only disagreement is how it would affect at the state level. And I think, listen, this is going to get into those red state, blue state issues. You live in a red state, they're probably going to help you out here by trying to do as much as possible to also limit the burden this is on you. You live in a blue state that likes big bureaucracy. They may not be as quick to give away their kind of monopoly on insurance control in their state. So I could see like a California saying, no, we want all the plans meeting California standards, right? But I see like a Georgia saying, no, you have the option. You want to buy a plan out of Alabama, you want to buy a plan out of Kansas, you can do that. And we're going to be okay with that. We'll change our state laws. So I think there is going to be some state law issue here. And I think red states, they automatically do it. And listen, I mean, in New York, they may have to because it's just in the Midwest, because people can't buy insurance. And that's affecting a lot of Democrat voters as it is. Probably, I bet it affects more Democrat voters with these high costs than it does Republican voters. That's just because of just demographics and voting.
Well, I think the competition is going to get the prices down, and that would be a good thing. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, you got comments coming in, you got calls coming in. What do you want to take next?
Let's go ahead. Let's go to Dennis in Alabama online too.
Hey, Dennis, go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. I like the fact that he's doing very carefully, trying to make sure he stays within the law, stays within the Constitution, to do what he can to help. I'm now paying over $200 a week for insurance for myself and my son. And that's a big chunk of my paycheck.
Yeah.
And it hurts.
$800 a month.
Yeah, I mean, it's $10,000 a year, and that's probably for minimal coverage. So here's what the president's proposing. What we hear he's proposing, nobody knows this yet, but it's going to allow the across state line competition would naturally put costs down. So I think that if you see that happen, the natural impact on that is going to be cost competitiveness for the insurance companies to stay in the market. Because as I said, there are areas where there's just one. So this would be, I think, a legitimate first step, a positive first step in this process.
No, I agree. I think that in this situation, what we have to have is something done. And as the caller said, that this is not a president like President Obama who's just going to willy-nilly do it, and see how it turns out in court. Instead, he's carefully studying to make sure it's as legally sound, constitutionally sound as possible. And I want to remind people, all executive orders aren't bad. I mean, that's why the president has this executive order ability, the travel pause, the travel ban, whatever you want to call that. Most of our listeners don't think that was bad. That was through executive action, through executive order. It's when you start issuing executive orders that conflict directly with laws on the books. Here, the only conflict is with a guidance put out by President Obama about these association sizes. And because it was just a guidance, that means that you can change it and make your own guidance. See, a lot of this is just getting deeper into the presidency, figuring out the powers that you have as an executive on a unitary side. Most of the major changes, like you said, Dad, they've got to go through Congress.
Right.
But you can do a lot. You are the commander-in-chief. You have a lot of power to act on many issues, including on issues with existing laws when there are gray areas and there are areas where previous presidents have used those gray areas to do one thing. That doesn't prevent you from doing the other thing.
Exactly right. All right, let's go ahead and take more calls, more comments. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, who's next?
Let's go to Dave is calling in Fullerton, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate all you guys do. I just wanted to let you know that I think this is a great thing. I think it's a start. We need the competition. I'm a little bummed to hear that in California this might not go. I'm paying $25,000 a year for my family's health insurance.
That is insane. It's about
25% of my, a little bit less than 25% of my income. This is killing me. It's putting me farther and farther behind. It's getting tougher and tougher to pay the bills. We need some relief, and I think this is relief.
And Dave, let me just say, there's no definite that California won't go along with this and allow you to buy plans. Here's the issue. There's not about so much about the authority, but what this change will do to states that have some regulations. And unfortunately, Dave, you live in California, a state that is highly regulated.
Yep.
And that means what they consider to be essential at the state level, at the Medicaid and Medicare level, may not comply with these plans that are offered in other states. So what you'll probably need to be putting pressure, because what you're paying is outrageous and absurd. So you should be putting pressure on all of your elected officials. I don't care if they're Republican, a Democrat, or socialist, because it's absurd that Californians like you are paying $25,000 a year for insurance.
And let me ask you this, Dave. What's your deductible on that $25,000? I'm sure it's not inexpensive either.
It's not too bad. I'm not looking right at it.
Okay.
It's not too bad. I choose this, but it's I've got three kids,
yeah,
that need to get in and get medically treated.
Sure.
I will definitely put pressure on my politicians.
Well, do it, because $25,000. I mean, and unfortunately, and this is the reality. I mean, there's only one place it's going right now, unless something's done, and that's up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to increase. So I mean, they're talking about an increase that can be 20 or 30%.
Especially when you got young kids who are there at the doctor's office the most for smaller procedures usually, but they use insurance.
What are we seeing online, Logan?
Yeah, a lot of compounds coming in. A lot of questions, I'd say. A lot of people have questions about what happened with the penalties, what are going to happen with bringing the cost down.
Well, the penalties are not being enforced right now.
Right.
So those are not being enforced.
That should be clear for everybody. There's no employer mandate or individual mandate nor penalties for that.
So there has been some rollback on the Obamacare aspects of this.
All done by the president.
All done by the president, where Congress has enacted. But there's limits to what the president can do. So there has to be, again, this was a guidance that was issued by the Obama administration, and it's gone forward in an aggressive way with these cost increases. So because they wouldn't allow crossing state lines for purchasing insurance, and that in and of itself created part of the problem here. So that's the reality of what the market looks like right now. You want to try and get another call?
We can. Here's a comment actually from Steve. Asked, I feel as if Congress and Senate are worthless. Seems if they do nothing for the people, yet they are dealing with these situations like here. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, I mean, I know there's a lot of frustration right now with the House and Senate. The House is passing legislation. The Senate's just not. I mean, there is a high level of frustration right now. I mean, I don't think there's any way to get around that. The fans in meetings on Capitol Hill right now, we'll find out tomorrow how those meetings went, but I think the frustration level right now is palpable.
Yes, I mean, it is one after another. We had the big tax rollout. Remember, we walked everybody yep. through that, the percentages, the changes. Heard much about that lately?
Nope.
Right. Why not? Well, instead, it's because there was immediate, it was not Democrats, because they don't really matter in these votes. It's because Republicans have control of both the House and the Senate. It was Republicans who went to war with each other on taxes. And we see this, I think, absolutely condemnable statements coming out of these retiring senators like Bob Corker. Just leave already. You want to retire? You can go now. I mean, you know, you don't have to stay in Washington bashing the President of the United States because you didn't get the cabinet position you wanted. You were begging him for that. You were playing golf with him for that. But this is a Washington that is broken. And maybe the idea of Steve Bannon, what some of the politics he's planning to start clearing these guys out, not such a bad thing for President Trump, because you realize in these politicians, Corker, perfect example. He wanted that state Secretary of State job. He didn't get it. He's the head of the Foreign Affairs Committee, a pretty big position, would have a huge influence, yep. was early endorser of President Trump, turns his back on him immediately, and starts calling him names. I mean, this is not a Congress that's going to get through tax reform and a new health care bill when they are calling the president names. And I think it's not so bad that these guys are having to retire because they're afraid of what they might face politically.
Oh, well, I mean, look, the pressure is clearly on the Senate.
Wild Washington.
But the question is right now, can they get anything done in the process? I think tax reform is a have to. But you're not hearing, like Jordan said, you're not hearing a lot about it. It makes you wonder what's going on. What's going on is the internal bickering and fighting is reaching pretty high levels. All right, we come back from the break. We're going to take more calls, more comments. We're also going to bring in our senior policy analyst, Harry Hutchison, to give a look at this. And then there's also some developments in Turkey we'll talk about in the back half of the broadcast. But we've got a lot more ahead, a lot more time ahead. We'll get comments and calls going.
That's right. We have one line available right now, 1-800-684-3110. But you can always join us online and get your comments in that way. It's at facebook.com/jseculo, on Twitter, and on Periscope at jseculo. You can just watch the show on azlj.org. But again, a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110 to have your comments on the air today.
All right. Also, again, of course, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. ACLJ.org for that. If you want to stay engaged and informed, again, sign up for our newsletters or emails. It's a very good way for you to stay engaged on all of these issues. Again, ACLJ.org. Back with your calls and comments in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So the president sends out today a tweet that says, since Congress can't get its act together on health care, I will be using the power of the pen to give great health care to many people fast. This was this morning. We think that means it's going across state lines. Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, we don't know exactly what the president's proposing here, but Harry, you just were talking to our audience on Facebook and Periscope, but I think it's important to share this with radio. We think this is going to be increasing access across state lines. How significant would that be?
That would be very significant, particularly in the long term. It may take a while, for instance, to put together so-called AHPs, which will expand access for individuals.
Yeah, that's the Association of Health Plans. So in other words, you're getting groups together. Yep.
But in any case, I think it's innovative. It challenges the status quo. But it's also important to keep in mind that Obamacare, even though it was grounded in statutory language, it's equally true that it was grounded in administrative rulings. So, for instance, Obamacare has more than 1,000 waivers connected to it. So, for instance, the contraceptive mandate, so-called, it's not in the statutory language,
right. Even
though there's a statutory basis for it.
So when he removes those things by executive order, all he's doing is repealing a previous executive order. You can't change the law, by the way. These are regulations that are put in place. All right, Logan, let's go ahead and take a call or a comment.
Let's go to George, who's calling in Los Angeles, California, online too. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Great topic.
Thanks.
I'm happy that we're moving forward. I hate that this healthcare has been politicized for so long. When Obama was putting it together, Republicans were fighting it. He got it through. No, it's not the best plan because it didn't have a compromise. And isn't God wonderful? I mean, God is just now making it so that God's forcing the compromise. In other words, Republicans are still fighting it. In fact,
I'm not going to get into the theological on this. I will get into the practical, and the practical is we don't know exactly what the language of the executive order is going to be yet. So I don't want to jump the gun here. I understand your enthusiasm, but again, I'm going to stay out of the theology of this. Our goal has always been, Jordan, more access is better. Cross-state lines is better for people because competition will get prices down. That's just the way it works.
And then all these places that have gone down to, you know, one insurer in their county or just a few options again, that would no longer be the case. So I think there'd be great pressure. They talk about the state regulations being an issue, but if you're in one of those states and you've got many counties in that state, Iowa, Ohio, where you're down to one insurer, there's going to be plenty of pressure on that state government. I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican to let you buy insurance across state lines. I think this could be an impetus to actually see. So this executive order, it'd be interesting. This executive order could actually cause states to change their laws. So actually state legislatures doing more than our Congress.
So here's the question, Harry. What's going to be the opposition coming from the left on this? What do you think it'll be?
Well, I think the opposition from the left, at least in part, will be grounded in the notion that the bureaucracy knows best. And so here we are freeing individuals, perhaps to purchase across state lines. Perhaps we're freeing individuals from so-called minimum essential insurance requirements that many people demand and wish to impose on each and every one of us. It makes little sense to do that in light of the fact that this has caused insurance premiums, for instance, in Alaska, to rise almost 200% since the inception of Obamacare. So the president's proposal is a step forward in improving competition, lowering costs, and expanding access. That's great news for American consumers.
All right, the president just made a statement he was meeting with Henry Kissinger, but he just made a statement about health care. Here you go.
And I'll also be signing something probably this week, which is going to go a long way to take care of many of the people that have been so badly hurt on health care. and they'll be able to buy, they'll be able to cross state lines, and they will get great competitive health care, and it will cost the United States nothing. Take care of a big percentage of the people we're talking about, too. So with Congress the way it is, I decided to take it upon myself. So we'll be announcing that soon as far as the signing is concerned.
So it looks like that it's going to be focusing, Jordan, on the crossing state lines. I mean, that the president's getting that information out.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that is, we're expecting that in the next couple of days. And that is something huge. I mean, we've been talking about that since the Obamacare fight. One of the issues with the Affordable Care Act was that it did not allow that kind of competition. And it's always been an issue with the insurance industry, actually, that people have not been able to go outside lines, unless, exception there, you're a major corporation.
Yeah.
They've always been able to go outside. They could shop around for whatever's the best plans available in the entire country. That's what this would do. It allow individuals to have the same power as corporations. So you think that, you know, Republican Party is all about just helping big business out and helping big corporations. Think again. Here's a president who's trying to help the individual be on the same bargaining level, at least have the same options as the big corporations in America.
I'm not going to. The Republicans certainly haven't helped on this, though.
No.
To be realistic.
No,
all right.
No, it's a president.
Don't give him credit. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call here at 800-684-3110.
Let's go to Randall in Buffalo. You're on the air.
Hi, Randall. Go ahead.
Randall, you there?
Daniel. It's Daniel.
Oh, Daniel, I'm sorry. Daniel, go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. Jay, thanks. Great opportunity for the president to connect with the people under this disastrous Congress, better than Washington, Kennedy, or Reagan, and that is to take it to the people and say, I do not wish to do this as an executive order. We have dysfunctional Congress. I'm hoping that all these executive orders end up being legislation down the road.
Well, but they, to be legislation down the road, they'd actually have to be legislation down the road. In other words, there's only limits to what a president can do, Harry, by executive order.
Absolutely. And so one of the things that we should keep in mind is the next president could reverse many of these proposals. So it would be helpful to create a statutory that would move this proposal forward. I would just like to say, though, Jay, that the president's proposal advances health care equality. In other words, individuals will now be on the same platform, just like major corporations. Major corporations have purchasing power. They have buying power.
That's what this does.
And this
assuming
everything we hear is
Jordan,
accurate.
Quickly, the political ramifications of the president taking action on his own.
Huge victory for the president. That's it. It just actually underscores how bad the Republicans have done, and it cuts Democrats out of the process altogether. So for Congress as a whole, Democrat and Republican, it just shows you that the president has waited long enough, and he's going to start doing everything possible. He didn't want to be the power of the pin president, you know?
Yeah.
But because of the weakness of Congress, he's going to do everything he can constitutionally.
Yeah, you can't go beyond the Constitution.
When
you can't legislate.
He's been challenged in court so far, Dad.
Yeah,
he's won.
No, he has.
And that's the difference between him and President Obama.
All right, let's go ahead. We're going to take more calls, more comments. We come back from the break and left 30 more minutes of the broadcast.
That's right. If you don't get us on your local station, you can find us broadcasting online, ACLJ.org, or get your comments in and watch us on social media, Facebook.com/JSecular. We're on Facebook Live. You can also find us on Periscope and Twitter. At Jay Sekulow, later on archived on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and also in the Roku channel store. Just search for ACLJ. You can get the Jay Sekulow Live podcast on iTunes, where you can subscribe. We got a whole nother half hour coming up, 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. So the president sends out a tweet this morning saying, since Congress can't get its act together on health care, I will be using the power of the pen to give great health care to many people fast. So this was a quick statement, a quick reaction. Then he made a statement in a meeting he was having with Henry Kissinger. He brought up the issue of health care. Take a listen just moments ago.
And I'll also be signing something probably this week, which is going to go a long way to take care of many of the people that have been so badly hurt on health care. And they'll be able to buy, they'll be able to cross state lines, and they will get great competitive health care, and it will cost the United States nothing. Take care of a big percentage of the people we're talking about, too. So with Congress the way it is, I decided to take it upon myself. So we'll be announcing that soon as far as the signing is concerned.
So, Harry, so we now know that he's talking about the sale across state lines. How significant will that be?
I think that's very, very significant. And again, to reemphasize a point that I made earlier, it will take time for this innovation to improve the lives of many people going forward. Yeah. But it is a fabulous step forward, and he's compelled to act because Congress has been so spineless in their repeal and replacement endeavors.
Yeah, let's take a call. Bill in Indiana, because, Bill, I think what the president is proposing here impacts you directly. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live on Line 4. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. We are being left out of all of these different plans, and they could put us in what he's talking about, to allow a non-government insurance group plan. But we're left out of them because I'm one of the pastors that opted out 40, 50 years ago. I opted out 48 years ago of Social Security.
Right.
Pastors were allowed to. And yep. Now we have no insurance, and I am a liar if I ever go back and I can't break my word. But
yeah.
I can't get government insurance, so I'm not allowed to have Medicare.
Well, there looks like through this yeah. proposal, you're going to have the ability to, like a pastor's association, yeah. can form as a group. Go
That's
ahead.
Right. So President Trump is expected to sign this executive order, and it will likely allow, so we don't know until we get the exact language, but I think this is going to provide you that relief, Bill. It will likely allow individuals direct access to the healthcare market through use of association health plans. So right there you say, okay, but I don't have an association. Here's the important part. You will be able to form an association. So it'll allow these association health plans to be formed from almost any organizations and allow individuals then to buy from the organization. So your group of pastors, for instance, or church, let's say, executive teams could from an area could pull together, form a health or a association, and then go out and you would basically then negotiate a health plan that would be available to your group. So you're not being left out by the president's action. All I get concerned about is that it's executive orders. Let's say this all goes well and good, and you're able to do that, Bill, and I hope you are. Next president comes along, doesn't like this. If it doesn't become law, then we get into the same situation. The reason President Trump can do this is because many of the changes that were made to the Affordable Care Act were done by executive order and agency rulemaking by President Obama. So that is why I think it's very important for everyone to understand the significance of this, but also the problem when you have a do-nothing Congress.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's also important to emphasize, Jordan, that this proposal will provide an incentive for insurance companies to become creative, perhaps to help form these new associations, which will give them a new market and will provide interstate competition, if you will, in the health insurance market. That is crucial.
Yeah, and I think, look, again, until we know, look, the president's already saying it's going to be impacting the ability to get insurance across state lines. The associations being able to be formed would also be another way that you have more buying power. That would all be positive. We're not going to know until we see it. All right, we'll take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Got a couple lines open. But again, this is the president's now said it's certainly going to be covering crossing state lines. The question with the executive order always is there an underlying statutory basis to do this? Because President Obama did this through a guidance through executive order. Well, I think there is statutory authority under ERISA, and that looks like most experts agree on that. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Andy Conmore, Senior Counsel, has joined us. He actually represented the State Insurance Commission because one of the questions here is returning more authority to the states to craft policies and plans through insurance companies to meet the needs of the state, because all 50 states are not the same.
No, and that's what we need to be doing, I think, is we need to be focusing on the state regulation and the state promotion of insurance. You cannot say that the risks that exist in Georgia, for example, where I am from, are going to be the state as the same as those in Oregon or in Washington or in Montana. You need to leave these decisions to the oversight of state regulators who know their people and who know their risks and the needs in the communities.
And part of the idea of one of the plans, Jordan, that didn't get passed, was Lindsey Graham proposed, was returning the grants to the states that would have given the states more authority to address this.
That's right. That the states would then have had the ability to decide what were their minimum coverage, what were the must coverage. They would be able to decide again. So if you were in a blue state, it might be a little bit more expensive there than a red state. But again, giving power back to the states. Unfortunately, what we saw was a lot of cowardly Republican governors. I won't name names, but some are from the Midwest. One ran for president and loves to criticize, says he now wants to leave the Republican Party. He didn't want it, but I think it's because he didn't want to be responsible. You know, a lot of governors have a lot less power than people think.
Yep.
They are not like presidents of their states. They usually...
Depends on the state constitution.
Yeah, I mean, some are very powerful, but others,
yeah,
very little. So they don't want any more responsibility because it can be a pretty easy job to have when you can put the blame on everybody else. This would have forced them to run insurance, and they didn't want it. So, I mean, again, that plan, we move by that plan. I know they're still working on it. I know Senator Graham's still working on it with the president, but that wasn't cutting it with Republicans are being the problem.
All right, let's go ahead and take some more calls. 800-684-3110. Logan, who's next?
Let's go to Lynn, who's calling in Buffalo, New York. You're on the air.
Hi, Lynn, go ahead.
Yes, my general comment is this. Let's face it. We know why this competition isn't going to be allowed under Obama, or wasn't allowed. It's because they want to move us. The Democratic Party wants to move us to a single-payer health care system.
Right.
We're not stupid.
No, I think, look, I mean, they're not hiding it. I mean, you know, at least the honest brokers on the left are not hiding the fact that they want single payer, and you get the insurance markets to collapse here, and you get there pretty quick.
Absolutely, and I think there is clear evidence that Obamacare was designed to implode the private insurance market, thereby creating an inevitable move toward a single payer plan. I think President Trump's proposal will prevent that from happening.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go ahead and keep continuing to take calls. Again, we don't know the nature and full scope. We do know one thing in the proposal is going to be cross state lines. Again, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, a comment came from Diane. She said, this is temporary, being able to cross state lines, or what's
process? Yeah, so an executive order is only as good as that executive order stays in place. Another administration comes in, Andy, and that administration could change it back.
But for his presidency.
Well, I mean, he technically could change it during the presidency, but that wouldn't be likely. But it would last through the presidency. It's not the same as a statute.
No, it does not have the force of statutory law, in that it statutory law remains permanent throughout administration to administration because it was enacted by Congress and signed by the president.
How big of an issue do you think, Jordan, politically right now, do you think health care is right now?
I think it's about to be once people are going to have to start. You know, we're coming towards that period where people are starting to purchase. Now, as we've heard from the callers, I think some people just shrugged their shoulders and realized this is what they're going to have to pay for this year. You know, very high fees. But it's a huge issue politically. If you can take some pressure off people, allow the insurance to be brought across state lines, I think that's your job as president. How can you help the American people that you are their commander-in-chief? If you can help them out economically, even by making a fix like this, which may be temporary, but is a fix, you do it. You do everything you can to improve the well-being of the American people. I mean, that's what America First is about, is that you help those Americans out first. And listen, it shouldn't hurt the federal government's budget at all by doing this.
He said no. He said it will not affect, the president said, it won't affect the United States $1. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take another call, Logan.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Bill in North Carolina.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Jay. Great show so
far. Thanks.
Just a comment is the American people, and mainly I'm looking at liberals and Democrats, they should have realized this bill was a total disaster when the Congress exempted themselves from it. If it was going to be such a panacea, why would they exempt themselves from it? So that just burns my soul. And so if their coverage is so great, why can't the American people have some of the coverage they
have?
Well,
I mean, if you encourage going across state lines, you could. I mean, right now there's no incentive for a competition. And we don't know what the insurance company reaction to this is going to be. But they're going to want to compete. I mean,
exactly. So I think the insurance companies will react competitively and favorably toward this proposal. In other words, it will be in the interest of insurance company A to move into the interstate market for individuals.
Yeah. So, Andy, on the state basis, because you represented the state, right, on that kind of issue, where the state's involved, one of the big concerns about the Affordable Care Act was it took a lot of power away from the states. And that is – it eliminated the creativity, the ability to tailor a healthcare plans and market share to what the people in that community needed.
And that was a terrible consequence of the Affordable Health Care Act, what we call Obamacare. I mean, the states know. I represented three Georgia insurance commissioners during my tenure in the state attorney general's office. They knew what their people in Georgia, for example, wanted and needed in terms of health care, how to tailor them, how to approve the policy forms, how to keep the insurance companies that were writing those policies.
Yep.
To do the right thing with respect to claims that were being made. That was something that on a state level was a success. We've overturned that right now with Obamacare.
Yeah. So the question is, and let's go ahead and take another call in a minute, but the question is, Jordan, politically, will this be any impetus for Congress to start working on this again, or do we think it's just at a stalemate?
Is there anything that Congress can get start working on? I know Thane is out of meeting today. We'll get a report from him tomorrow. We had the major tax rollout. Seemed like a lot of support for that. Hey, we all like lower taxes. We like lower taxes for ourselves. We like lower taxes for the companies we work for. We want to bring money back from overseas. We want to create more jobs. Suddenly, and they wanted to do that by the end of the year?
Yeah.
I mean, if you were going to do that by the end of the year, you'd be talking. I know we've had some natural disasters, and we've had some issues that were, we had Las Vegas. You know, we've had some distraction, and more than distraction, of course, horrible events.
Yeah.
But things that have taken away from those focuses on tax reform, I would like to know, and I think we need to get that update from Than tomorrow. Where does the tax discussion stand? Do we really believe we're going to get there by December? Because I don't think that's just as complicated, or more so than healthcare, because of all of the industries that are now have got their lobbying machines in full effect because they want their exemptions, they want their deductions,
right.
and then suddenly what seems like a pretty straightforward plan gets very Washingtonized. And that is always an issue.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, Melissa from New Jersey, you're on the air, but let's give us a call, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. We just opened up some lines. So, Melissa, you're on the air.
Hi, Melissa.
How you doing?
Hey, good.
I have a question. How do organizations or groups get formed by to buy insurance across the state lines, and will they have to go through the IRS to be scrutinized?
Well, it depends. I mean, one of the things are called association health plans. This will be there are already organizations that are formed that now could, for instance, if you're a member of an association of pastors, an association of teachers, an association of restaurant workers, they can now, where before the problem was they couldn't, you know, they had members in all 50 states, they couldn't get that kind of combined buying power because you had state-by-state restrictions where you couldn't buy outside of state lines. This would change that drastically. So how a lot of these associations, Harry, are already there. There will be some rules, I'm sure, and regulations on how they're formed. But allow the individuals through the association health plans to start being able to buy state lines. That's, again, it's kind of the freedom of association. It's getting together as a group with a commonality. The commonality may be the industry you're in or the business you're in. That would go a long way here.
Absolutely. And so there are existing small groups. And I think this proposal will provide an incentive to create new small groups, perhaps an association of pastors, who will then be able to have direct access to insurance plans across state lines, lowering costs, and perhaps lowering deductibles.
And Will Haynes, our executive producer, points this out. There are associations that already exist, and they could simply expand their purpose to their membership benefits to include benefits on health care.
Yes, and they should. I mean, that's exactly what these associations are really best equipped to do. And again, under the aegis and guidance of state regulators, state insurance commissioners, and of the individual states, that is something that Obamacare has removed from the arena, and I think that's one of the greatest curses of it.
The inability to tailor these health plans based on the governors or the state houses and senates or the commissioner for insurance, taking all of that authority away from them really has hurt getting the situation resolved, which is reducing premium costs, and competition will reduce premium costs. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, last segment of the broadcast, we'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Remind people, Logan, the way they can get involved with us on multiple things.
Yeah, you can go on ACLJ.org to find out more information about the organization. You can also find us broadcasting live online on all our social media, Facebook, Twitter. Just search for Jay Sekulow. You'll find us there. You can obviously give us a call right now. We got a line open, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
A line, as Logan said.
One line.
One line is open.
You never know. The couple are being screened right now, so maybe some more. So give us a call.
800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Last segment, we take your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're talking about the president sent out a tweet this morning saying the problem, he wanted to address the problem of health care. Since Congress can't get its act together on health care, I will be using the power of the pen to give great care, great health care to many people. And then he put in all caps, fast. And then in a subsequent statement he made, he talks about that this will be the ability for insurance companies to sell, people to buy insurance companies across state lines, which will increase competition. Harry, you increase competition, you end up with lower costs. I mean, it's just the way it works.
Lower costs, greater access, greater flexibility. And I think that's one of the things that Obamacare took from the health insurance market. It took flexibility. And this will help restore flexibility to the market.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's go right to them, and we'll take some comments as well.
Let's go to Shirley in Maryland on line two.
Hi, Shirley, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you, Jay. I listen to you every day.
Thanks.
I love your show.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. What I wanted to ask is, I want to know where the individual mandate stands with Obamacare. My insurance expires next week. It's COBRA. So I'm not going to take Obamacare.
So, Jordan, give everybody an update because the mandates are gone. I mean, as far as the penalties go.
Right. So, I mean, you don't have to get insurance. You're not going to be penalized for not getting insurance.
That was also done by executive order.
But then you don't have insurance.
Right.
So, you face something where I would not suggest that for anybody, though I understand people are in tough financial situations. Some places have other options, pools, religious associations that do things that are not considered, quote, insurance.
MedShare and those.
Yeah. Yep. I'd look at something, but you're not going to be penalized. You're not going to be penalized for not having insurance.
But taking this
so away, long as President Trump is in office.
Yeah.
So,
but taking this away, Andy, goes back to the states. Taking the states out of this insurance, because people don't understand why there is a state insurance commission, why the governors do try to regulate the industry, but also to make sure that they can get benefits to their employees in the states and also to citizens of the state.
Insurance is and should be a state-centered, regulated industry. It should not be nationally centered with this single-payer system where we basically have what they've got in the United Kingdom. That is not what the United States was founded upon all these years that we've had insurance. Insurance regulation is a state-regulated thing and ought to be, because the states and the insurance commissioners or the insurance commissions in the various states
Yep.
have the best finger on the pulse of what the state needs are.
All right, let's go ahead and keep taking calls. 800-684-3110.
Carolyn in Florida, line four.
Hi, Carolyn.
Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hello, and thank you for everything that
Sure.
you do. My question concerns Medicare.
Yep.
My Medicare premium just keeps going up and up and up and up, and my benefits keeps going down, down, down.
Well, let's the impact on this on Medicare, Jordan, from that standpoint, I would not think this would impact Medicare.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, this is not about impacting Medicare at all. I think people get scared when you think about change. Always people get scared when they hear about any changes about their Medicare, their Medicaid, their Social Security. It does not change that. Those programs are totally funded through the federal government. In Medicaid's situation, that's a federal and state funding. But Medicare, you are going to receive the same benefits you've been receiving. And it's on the same path. It's unaffected by these. We're talking about a small group of people who are not eligible for Medicare. Now, Medicare was expanded some, but didn't change it for anybody who already had it. We're talking about a small group of people who do not get insurance from their employer, who do not have, so they don't get insurance from their employer. They don't qualify for Medicaid or Medicare, so they've got to buy it on their own. That is who we are talking about
Yep.
when we talk about this insurance market.
All right, let's go ahead and take some more calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Brian in Colorado Springs, you're on the air.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, sir. You're on the air.
Hey, I'm an insurance broker in
Yep.
Colorado Springs. I have 18 years experience in the PNC, auto and home insurance. I'm recently ramping up to do health insurance, and I don't personally think that selling across state lines will make a huge difference. Most health insurance rates that vary according to zip code and areas anyway. And the biggest issue with health insurance as it is now is that insurers have to take pre-existing conditions.
But the pre-existing conditions have already been worked into the marketplace. So, I mean, in the existing plans that are out there, pre-existing conditions are covered. So that doesn't change. What I think does change is, Harry, when you have your law and economics professor, when you have competition, it generally brings, I mean, not generally, kind of the rule is, competition will bring costs down. And then we can go to the state side of the fact that it can tailor to the citizens of that state.
Absolutely. So costs should come down, but also access should be expanded. It's important to remember that in some zip codes, some counties, there are no insurance companies available.
So when there's no insurance company available, Jordan, right now, what happens? They have to go to the state pool?
Yeah, I mean, it's very complicated. I mean, and these people are in the worst of worst situations. The law was not set up or designed to be in that situation where you'd have one choice. I mean, it's not an option. So, yeah, then you got to go to a state pool. I mean, you hear about the numbers people are paying here out of pocket. The one caller called in with three children, didn't have a high deductible because he was paying $25,000 a year. So,
right.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. But those who are paying, let's say, you know, $1,500, they're paying more than their mortgage. That's usually what we get the call in. They're paying more than their mortgage, but their deductible is so high, they're never going to – I mean, unless they had a full-on catastrophe health situation, they're not going to ever hit that deductible.
Go ahead, Long.
Yeah, Melanie actually, as she said, I still believe there should be a complete repeal with the exceptions of pre-existing Keep Your Children Plan until 26. Repeal everything else. Why is that not the plan right
Because
now?
The Congress won't do it. I mean, they don't have the votes to do it. They tried three versions of repeal. All of them failed. Most recently failed because of John McCain's vote, and the political will within the Republicans, Jordan, is just not there.
No, it's not there. It doesn't seem to be there even on the tax issue. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself there, but I saw they started fighting immediately. We didn't get the numbers that go with the percentages. I think that's, again, this is all on Congress. This is not the White House. There's only so much the White House could do.
There's only so much the president can do with an executive order, too. Remember that. You can't repeal the whole thing by executive order.
You cannot.
Can't repeal a law by an executive order.
You can try to help people as best you can, and that's what the president's planning to do with this executive order.
So, but there'll be challenges, Harry.
Absolutely. So I think many Democrats who are committed ideologically to Obamacare will bring litigation. You will see some state attorneys generals who will probably bring litigation. In addition, perhaps individual members of Congress will bring litigation. But I think this is all set up because Republicans, as Jordan correctly points out, are legendary in terms of their spinelessness and their gutlessness.
Yeah. So here's the question at the end of the day. We don't know yet the full scope and the nature of what the president's executive order is. We do know this. Here is what he said just a couple of less than an hour ago when we were on live. Here's what he said.
And I'll also be signing something probably this week, which is going to go a long way to take care of many of the people that have been so badly hurt on health care. And they'll be able to buy, they'll be able to cross state lines, and they will get great competitive health care, and it will cost the United States nothing. Take care of a big percentage of the people we're talking about, too. So with Congress the way it is, I decided to take it upon myself. So we'll be announcing that soon as far as the signing is concerned.
I think, again, this is a president who's not afraid, unlike Republican governors, members of the House and Senate, to take things on upon himself, which means he knows that then the blame lies with him. And he's not afraid of that, of making a pretty major change, allowing the insurance to be bought across state lines. How many years have we been talking about that?
Yeah, 8 years.
Eight plus years?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
That's going to do it for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow with more. Find us on ACLJ.org and all social medias. At Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.